Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, July 7, 2023. The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies is appealing for funds to help volunteers in Sudan.
This is, of course, due to some ambitious or power-hungry personnel within our leadership that brought about the issues of 2013. And from that 2013 up to now, we have been in crisis, we have not been stable.
And the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies is appealing for funds to support Sudanese volunteers.
More is still needed in terms of medical support. People still need so much water, and then of course they need food. So we had launched an emergency appeal requesting for money, and we are continuing to appeal for more aid, for more support.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, or IFRC, is appealing for funding to support Sudanese Red Crescent Society volunteers who have been providing much-needed assistance to millions of people affected by Sudan's conflict. Rita Nyaga is Senior Communication Officer for Africa at IFRC. She tells Nabil Biagio that volunteers in most parts of Sudan are providing food, water, shelter and medicine to people affected by fighting between the army and the paramilitary rapid support forces.
The Sudanese Red Crescent volunteers, just like all volunteers around the world, are really present and working into the community at all times. They were still able to mobilize themselves, take courage, begin to assist with evacuating the sick to the hospitals, doing first aid, offering psychosocial support. And even as the conflict escalated, they were able to collect dead bodies and offer them safe and dignified burials.
With millions of people forced to flee the violence, what is specific assistance has the SRCS provided in terms of food, water, emergency shelter, medical supplies, etc.?
So you know that some people were fleeing the country, and at the border station, SRCS actually had what we describe as a humanitarian service point. This is a point where those who are fleeing can come and have a seat. They were providing them with some food, offering them a psychosocial support. And in places where the mobile network was working, they were giving them a free phone call service to be able to call their families back home. They were also providing the mothers a place to rest before they continue on their journey. So we know that this has been very crucial. And then, like I said, even within the country, there were some organizations that were able to mobilize aid in terms of food. Sudanese Red Crescent Society volunteers were engaged in these distributions, working with several international organizations like the Red Cross and even the UN organizations.
And how has your organization, the IFRC, the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, how has it been supporting the SRCS in its response to the crisis? And what additional support is expected in the future?
Actually, the situation has been quite challenging because of mainly access and due to the deterioration of the security. Our teams, for example, within Khartoum, were at the beginning very confined in terms of movement because there was a lot of fighting going on. But as the situation continued to heighten, we were still able to mobilize the volunteers and the staff who could be able to work. So in most of the states, we have, SRCS has 18 branches across the states. Many of them are now beginning to function, and the branch directors, staff and volunteers are present doing distribution. We had to relocate the Khartoum office to Port Sudan. There we were able to find warehousing and have a discussion with partners about the level of support needed. What remains clear is still there's plenty of food needed, because anything which is arriving through the partners, we have people like the Qatari Red Crescent, we have the Turkish Red Crescent, the Kuwaiti Red Crescent, who've been offering support. Immediately the food reaches the warehouse, it's out and going again to be distributed to the people. So more is still needed in terms of the medical support. People still need so much water, which we need to distribute. And then, of course, they need food. So we had launched an emergency appeal requesting for money, and we are continuing to appeal for more aid, for more support, technical support in the hospitals, also in the offices. We need computers and things like phone lines. We need tents to do the warehousing, and also medical staff, any medical staff that can be available. Also, we need cash to run the operation, because most of our support is also going to be cash-based, where we are able to distribute some money to people and they can be able to sort out their most immediate needs.
That's Rita Nyaga, Senior Communication Officer with the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Christian Societies. She spoke with my colleague Nabil Biagio from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Sudan's paramilitary rapid support forces have been accused of attacking a remote town on Friday before allegedly going on a shooting and looting rampage that witnesses say terrorized people. A witness told the French news agency AFP that RSF was allegedly looting banks and public buildings in Bara, 50 kilometers northeast of El Obeid, the capital of northern Kordofan. El Obeid, 365 kilometers south of Khartoum, is a strategic, logistical and commercial hub with an airport and huge warehouses for storage of foodstuffs. For nearly 3 months, the RSF, commanded by Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, has fought with the Sudan Armed Forces under General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan in street battles that has claimed the lives of at least 3,000 people and displaced millions. I reached out to Izzat Yusuf, RSF's political advisor, for comments, but he did not reply to my request on WhatsApp. South Sudan marks its 12th independence anniversary on Sunday, and some analysts say the citizens are yet to enjoy some dividends of independence after 21 years of bitter conflict with Sudan. They say the past 12 years has been characterized by political and intercommunal violence, economic hurdles, corruption, poverty, and disease. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Oboye James, a South Sudanese policy analyst, says while South Sudanese are proud to be a free country, the youngest nation is gripped by a high rate of unemployment, poverty, diseases, and instability.
One of the biggest issues that the South Sudanese expected as a dividend of the independence was something to do with the government focusing on the state and national building. That did not take place. The government is supposed to focus on deepening peace building in this country. That never materializes. We expected that the government of South Sudan would have the ability to prevent national, state, or subnational conflict. Instead, it's opposite.
Jock Madot Jock, a professor of anthropology at Syracuse University, says the main dividend of South Sudan's independence is freedom from oppression, racism, and religious bigotry. However, Jock says there are some very important dividends that South Sudanese are missing, including basic services like education, health, food security, infrastructure, and electricity.
All of these have not materialized. And as such, I would say the people of South Sudan, 12 years since independence, remain quite disappointed in the outcome of independence. Independence from want has not been achieved. We are not independent in terms of food security. We are still an import economy. And as a result, this economy has collapsed pretty much.
Jock says the government did little to promote virtues of transparency and accountability, which are tenets of good governance. Jock says the government should use oil revenues to diversify the country's economy and develop the country's human capital.
The reason why we are not there is not because of lack of resources, but it is because of mismanagement of those resources. And I think until we are able to figure this out, this country will remain in misery and our people will rot in poverty for a very long time to come. And that is rooted in leadership. Until we fix our politics, we will not be able to fix our economies.
Michael Makwe, South Sudan government spokesperson, acknowledges the several challenges facing South Sudan during her 12 years of independence. He accused some greedy politicians for causing insecurity, hunger, and intercommunal violence during the past 12 years.
Of course, due to some ambitious or power-hungry personnel within our leadership that brought about the issues of 2013. And from that 2013 up to now, we have been in crisis. We have not been stable simply because even though we have signed the agreement, some of us, by us I mean the party signatories to the agreement, are not even willing to make sure to ensure that the agreement is implemented in letter and spirit.
James disagrees with the Makwe's statement. He says South Sudanese leaders should promote peace and build the nation.
We should be engaging each other in order to prevent conflicts in the future. We should work hard to improve the security systems so that people can be able to move freely in this country, South Sudan, and engage in the daily livelihood activities.
Both Jock and James stress that South Sudan is expected rapid economic growth and development, adding that poverty, diseases, and ignorance are widespread across the country. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu reporting from the capital, Juba.
Still in Juba, since July 1st, some South Sudanese vendors in the capital have been selling several sizes of the country's flag. Some motorists in the capital have been displaying the flags on their cars, motorbikes, and some on windows of buildings. Reporter Juliana Shiapai asked some people on the streets of Juba what this independence anniversary meant to them.
Hello, everybody. My name is Zach Mayul. I'm a digital strategist. I'm happy about this independence. I hope we will move on to a better new face, hoping for new changes. Yeah, that's all I can say. Happy Independence Day to all South Sudanese.
My name is Angelina Gon. I'm a South Sudanese. And what Independence Day means to me is that it's a day that we all should feel happy about. It's a day then for all of us as South Sudanese, regardless of the tribes and the regions we're from, to sit and reflect on what we want for the country.
My name is Than Andrew, a South Sudanese living in Juba City. Independence Day is more than just a day of celebration to me. It is a day that we reflect on our struggle for freedom and the suffering inflicted on our people by the oppressive Khartoum regime. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Humara Sandy and I was born in the 90s during the conflict. To me, Independence Day is a reminder of togetherness and unity. Growing up as a child, I was separated from my father. We could not spend Christmas together or any holiday together because he had to provide for the family. But fast forward, it's now 2023 and we are all in South Sudan living in harmony. And that to me is a clear description of Independence Day.
My name is Oyet Patrick Charles. I am the head of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan. Independence to me means freedom. It means equality. It means justice. It means following the rule of law. It means all of us are actually equal before the law.
Hello, my name is Miukame Amina Alison Kuchote from South Sudan. Being independent is to be free, to be able to make choices without the intervention of any person, organization, or a government. It allows us to see a world that we have not yet explored.
My name is Mattia Samuel Di Matteo, a South Sudanese. Life is hard. Everything is impossible. I cannot accept, I don't celebrate, because you celebrate when you are happy, you celebrate when you are fine, when you are okay. But currently, I am not a happy South Sudanese.
Hi, my name is Amir Ruben. What do independence means to me? To me, it means the pledge to protect the peace, harmony, and unity of our nation. Living our lives with the dignity, keeping the memories of those who sacrificed their life for our country.
My name is Dr. Abraham Maliat Mame. I'm an economist by trade and a South Sudanese. Independence means we are free from any oppressor, but it is the reason why we all have to come home. You know, during the war, we were all scattered all over the place. People were in Australia, like myself, some were in Khartoum, some were in refugee camps. But now, having our independence, we all return home.
I am Data Gordon. Independence Day to me means a reminder to all of us on the struggles and the sacrifices made by either our departed or current heroes and heroines for the independence of the Republic of South Sudan.
My name is Tol Duang. I am a journalist and a communications specialist. This 12th independence anniversary is a reminder to all of us, the South Sudanese, that there's still so much that needs to be done in terms of services delivery to our people, in terms of security.
My name is Aluel Manyang. Before we were independent, there are so many things that we weren't able to do, so many things that we never had the opportunity to or dare to dream of, because it just didn't seem possible. But now I can proudly call myself a South Sudanese. I can travel all over the world.
These are voices of South Sudanese on the streets of the capital, Juba. Juliana Shepai collected these voices. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some women in South Sudan say gender inequality is real. Find out why after the break. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Some South Sudanese women say gender inequality remains a big challenge for women at the place of work. One woman rights activist says several women are being overworked, underpaid, and sexually harassed at some workplaces in South Sudan. The undersecretary at the Ministry of Gender admits that fewer women are holding higher civil service positions in the country. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
25-year-old Blobby Becky says some women in South Sudan are experiencing gender disparities at workplaces. Becky says she lost her job at an international non-governmental organization in Juba just because she is a woman.
I got pregnant. I applied for the maternity leave. They gave me the maternity leave. So after just 2 months when I was home, I heard that there was really someone on my position. When I tried going there to ask what went wrong, they said no, there were a lot of work. They could not wait for me for that 3 months, so they have to take me off and put another person.
According to South Sudan's labor laws, a female employee is entitled to 3 months of maternity leave with full pay. 26-year-old Alual Mariar Makir, another South Sudanese young woman living in Juba, says sexual harassment is prevalent at some workplaces in South Sudan.
Just because you are a woman and you have gone to apply for a job, someone would want to sleep with you. Not any kind of job, especially when you are going to apply in, petroleums, these companies. You know, any kind of job that you want to apply for, they want you first to exchange your body for it. And then the other main issue is that sometimes when you also apply as a woman for a job somewhere, they would tell you, this position you cannot manage, So there's that negative stereotyping.
An activist with the Young Women Christian Association says women are not receiving equal remunerations at many workplaces. Knight Agnes Wani says what a man can do, a woman can also do it better.
We want to see that a woman is also given the privilege to get the same salary that a man gets in a workplace. Secondly, the workload. You find that a woman will be given a lot of work to do just because she's a woman, which is very wrong. A woman also gets tired.
Esther Ikereladu is the undersecretary in the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare. She says a 2021 gender assessment in South Sudan shows there are fewer women holding higher positions in the civil service.
We have looked into the position of deputy directors, human resource officers. We have looked into the position of directors, director generals, and undersecretaries. And we have come to realize there were only 4 undersecretaries out of 32 male undersecretaries. That is the inequality that exists in the civil service. There were 121 director generals who are male, you know, compared to only 20-something director generals in the whole system.
Ikere says the Ministry of Gender has drafted a women empowerment bill and is working with other government institutions to enact laws that promote gender equality to protect women at workplaces. These allegations of inequalities at workplaces have been echoed by women around the world, including developed economies like UK, European Union, and the United States. For VOA News, I am Manyang David Mayor in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Jonglei, where a court has ordered the management of the Bor-based Radio Jonglei to compensate 5 former employees for unlawful termination of their contracts. The presiding judge, John Yale Aleu, says the station's management violated some sections of South Sudan's Labour Act of 2017. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
The director of Radio Jonglei fired 5 of his employees for allegedly failing to fulfill their responsibility at the radio station. That prompted the 5 employees, who include 4 reporters and a cashier, to file a case in 2022 at the Labour Office and High Court to challenge their termination without notice. According to a copy of the verdict seen by South Sudan in Focus, the Jonglei State High Court ordered the management of Radio Jonglei to pay 5 of the former employees a total amount of 1,660,400 South Sudanese pound, equivalent to about $1,700, to compensate those who were fired without any warnings. Chol McCall, one of the complainants, welcomes the court verdict. McCall says after 1 year of a struggle, all the 5 former employees are happy with the verdict.
On what the judge has given us, because the same ruling that has been made by the judge or by the High Court, or the same ruling which was made previously by the Ministry of Labour that last year, of which the management of radio station rejected, or again after rejecting that, the case was also forwarded to the High Court, of which we started last year, and finally we have got our right.
Much Mayor Riak, another plaintiff, says many people try to discourage him and his group as they fought for justice. He says their fight for justice will serve as an example to people who may want to seek justice.
To seek justice is the right of everyone. So whenever you know there is something which is not at the right place, you need to always seek justice, like the one we have been following up our case. Some people were worried that our case will not be solved, but we were very determined that we are citizens and our rights should be granted to us.
Tijuak Agwet is the director of Radio Jonglei. He says the court's verdict was unfair, adding that Radio Jonglei's lawyer will appeal against it.
We have all the evidence that these people have no any right to continue working with us.
It is our right to go within 2 weeks to appeal. If we don't go within 2 weeks to appeal, then we have to take the responsibility to pay them and to implement what court has come out with.
The 5 former employees of Radio Jonglei are Deng Gai Deng, Aluel Kut Anget, Mach Yor Riak, Agol Samuel, and Chol McCall. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still in Juba, police say rescue team are still looking for survivors and bodies after a building under construction collapsed in Haisoura neighborhood Thursday. A known number of people are still trapped under the rubble. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Excavators are at the scene of the accident, where there are only dozens of people gathered to witness the rescue efforts. Rebecca Aluel is a resident of Haisoura. She says her brother, who sustained injuries in the head and hand when the building collapsed on Thursday, is responding to treatment at a Chinese hospital in Juba.
to now, they are saying there are people down there, but I'm not sure. Nobody has been recovered from the ground. I am here to witness, but yesterday at night, we were getting a bad smell coming out of the building.
Aluel says the rescue process has been too slow and challenging. She says she is not sure those trapped under the rubble are still alive. John George is a resident youth representative at Haisora's Quarter Council. He says more people could be trapped in remains of the building.
These people are said to be more than 10. Now the acting mayor has come and instructed that an excavator comes and excavate so that we can recover the bodies and hand them over to their respective families.
It remains unclear how many people are trapped under the rubble of the building as recovery efforts are ongoing. Major General Daniel Justin, the spokesperson of the South Sudan National Police Service, confirms the casualty figures from yesterday.
They have just doubled their effort. They brought another bulldozer to help in the at the site. So far, we have one victim. He's a young guy, 21 years old. He died. And then other six workers are now undergoing treatment in the military hospital.
He says rescue work is continuing, adding that police are looking for the engineer and the owner of the building to answer charges. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
We love to hear your remarks on issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nobel Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Take it in, Nobel.
Thank you, John. We begin with this voice note a listener sent us.
Hello, VOA. I am a caller, Jed Michael, in Bortown, Jonglei State. Please allow me to wish America and its people a happy Independence Day, although it is overdue. It's over two centuries now and more since it gained independence, and it has never recorded any unconstitutional transfer of power, unlike my country, South Sudan, where war is used as a tool to acquire and maintain power. I wish I were born in America. God bless America. God bless the people of America. Thank you.
Mending Malwal Alwong in Juba says, whether you support the SPLM or not, certain things are basically meant for the South Sudanese people to decide. It must worry us as South Sudanese when foreigners are directly involved and actively participate in deciding South Sudan's fate. And besides taking a political stand in the supposed contest, it is absolutely wrong and dangerous. Let the South Sudanese people decide for themselves. Mabor Alatringo in Ragmojok, in Lake State says, hello, John Tanze. The speech from the President, His Excellency Salva Kiir Mayardit, when he was addressing SPLM cadres in WAW on Tuesday, in July 4th, 2023, that no more extensions of the 2024 elections. I do not believe this statement, because elections cannot be conducted without knowing the number of voters. Therefore, there should be a census before elections. This fan says, hi, my name is Mawud Michael Madit in Dugpadiet in Jonglei State. I love the Voice of America. It's my number one radio station because VOA brings accurate information from all over South Sudan. Martin Manil Wugol in Juba says, as the country is preparing to celebrate independence on July 9th, let the citizens of South Sudan, rich or poor, deeply reflect on the immense sacrifices made during the liberation struggle and begin to love ourselves as one people, regardless of tribe or political grouping, for our beloved country to thrive again economically and politically in the region and the entire world.
Views in this segment does not represent the views of VOA or this program. We now leave you in a dancing mood with Jamnazi Africa and the song Riziki. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Peter Handley, We wish you a good evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Jamani, yeah. Me, na shanga.